The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to jump into our impact segment, as always. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. We actually have a guest that's calling in, a man that many of you that listen to this radio station know, and I suspect many of you love as well. Up until recently, he was a host of a program, a radio ministry that has made a difference for so many of us, so many lives with Family Life Today. On the hotline, my dear brother Bob Lapine, I've asked to call in. Bob, how are you?
Frank, good. Good Friday afternoon to you.
And good Friday afternoon to you. How is life treating you?
Well, with the Laker loss last night, I don't know exactly how to process that with your audience.
Yeah, you're devastated, aren't you?
I lived in San Antonio for many years, and so I developed a rivalry with the Lakers. Yep. So it did not hurt me to see them lose last night. I hope your listeners won't hold that against me.
Well, we're 23 seconds out of the gate, and that strike went against you. I'm sure there are a lot of people right now that are wincing a little bit, like, hey, I love Bob, but the Lakers lost and they're out, and I don't know what to do anymore. So we'll forgive you on that. Not that I need to,
Thank you.
The other night when I reached out to you and I said, hey, can you come on this week? I wasn't even watching. I'm kind of out of the NBA these days, and you said I'm watching the Lakers get trounced, and then you and I exchanged some private confidential texts about that loss.
I that's just between you and me.
Yes.
Have a lawyer client privilege on that one.
Yes, indeed. So let us talk a little bit about the season that you're in and the season that you have just exited. You started in Family Life in 1992, and before that, you spent a little time in radio as well. Talk about your early days before you came on to Family Life.
Yeah, I spent 13 or 14 years doing local radio, first in general market radio, news talk radio. I was a news reporter and a news anchor. And really about the, it was 1979 when I started hearing on Christian radio people like Dr. Dobson and Chuck Swindoll and John MacArthur and others. And I thought, man, these guys are good. And then I started hearing music on Christian radio. This is the early days of contemporary Christian music. So the Imperials and Dallas Holm and some of these names that older listeners might recognize, I started hearing that music and going, I like this. So I made the jump from general market radio into Christian radio and worked for the same company that owns KKLA for Salem Broadcasting in Tulsa and then in Phoenix, in Sacramento, and in San Antonio, and was working there when Dennis Rainey called me in 1992 and said, we're thinking about starting a nationally syndicated program. We need some help. And honestly, Frank, I loved San Antonio. I loved the job I was in. Both Marianne and I looked at each other after meeting with Dennis, and we thought, I don't know that we want to move to Little Rock, but it just seems like God is saying, this is what's next for you. And so we uprooted from San Antonio, came to Little Rock, and helped launch Family Life Today in the fall of 1992. I had no idea that it would be a 28-year journey and all that would come from that, all the ministry that would happen. It's just been remarkable to see how God had ordered all of the steps of this for us.
In those early days, in, say, the first months or the first couple of years, did you and Dennis experience any growing pains? Was it just you hit the ground running and it was all cylinders were on fire? What was it like?
Well, one of the things that was obvious from the very start was that there was a natural chemistry, just an affinity. We liked each other. There was we thought on parallel tracks. We didn't always think alike, but we were always coming from the same foundational place. And so we complemented one another in what we were doing on radio, and we enjoyed working together. That was easy, and you know, from doing this, when there's natural chemistry, it makes a lot of other things happen real easily. But we also learned quickly that an audience that hears you on the first day they hear you, they go, "Well, these guys are interesting." It takes a while for people to warm up, to become friends, to say this ministry is having an impact in my life, to say we want to help support the ministry, and that's so critical. I mean, in the early first couple of years, we wondered if there would be the kind of financial support that a program like ours needs to be able to continue doing what we're doing. And thanks to the generosity of some people who gave us some significant startup gifts, we were able to weather those first couple of years until listeners started becoming legacy partners or donating. So, yeah, I do remember the on-air part of it was happening well at the beginning. The off-air part was taking a little work, honestly.
Bob Lapine is my guest until, my gosh, I guess let's get to the immediate, and then there's a lot of questions in between. So after being on Family Life all this time, nearly three decades, you're in a new season.
I am. We made a transition, and this happened on air last week with I've been part of the interviews that we've done, the conversations that have taken place each day. I've been part of that day in and day out since the beginning of the program. And as of this week, I am no longer part of that dialogue or those conversations. I'm still coming out at the end of the program and helping listeners understand what they can do to get more information, get more help on what we've talked about today, how they can support us. So I'm there's still a presence there, but the actual interviews that are happening, I'm not sitting in on those any longer. And that's a big transition for me and hopefully for the listeners. This has been our strategy all along, Frank, that we would help the listeners begin to know and love Dave and Ann Wilson, feel comfortable with them, so that at the point that I step back a step, people go, "Oh, yeah, he's not there, but you know, we sure love Dave and Ann," and that's been our hope. Dennis and I years ago said if God would have it that Family Life Today should outlive us, and we know the need will outlive us, but you don't know what the timetable is for what God has his hand on in terms of a ministry. But we wanted to start building with that in mind, and we thought, well, let's do it in such a way that we introduce the friends we've met over decades on the air, introduce them to our friends Dave and Ann, so that this transition can happen slowly and gradually and people can be comfortable with it. So that's what we've been trying to do, and this is just the next step in that process.
And you have been a part of a number of steps in a couple of different processes over the last few years now. I didn't do my homework and look when Dennis actually stepped down, and I'm sure it's been a bit of time, but it just seems like it was yesterday. And now, and Dennis no longer your sidekick, if you will. And then we heard about Dave and Ann and loved them immediately. And now you're transitioning in another season, if you will. Just how long has it been since Dennis and you did the program? When did he leave?
Yeah, his last week on air with us was the last week of February back in 2019. So it's been a little more than 2 years since he and I were recording together and doing the program each day. We had a couple of weeks where Dennis and Barbara and Dave and Ann, the five of us, we kind of made that handoff there, and that Dennis has stepped away. He and Barbara are continuing in ministry, continuing to write and to speak. They have a website that is therainies.org where people are staying connected with them. So there's a lot still going on. But both Dennis and I have, we looked at this and we said, we would like to exit at a point when people are saying, you know, is this really, it feels a little too soon. We'd rather do that than at a point where people are going, it feels a little too late.
Yeah.
Like, you should have done this
yeah.
2 years ago. So
yeah.
We both still have life and vitality and intend to do ministry, but we wanted to make this handoff at a point where we can be around to kind of help make the transition happen.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Thank you for answering that somewhat maybe difficult question. A small follow-up. The reason why I ask, so if we take roughly a three-year window period, when Dennis and you, Dennis was on his way out, Dave and Ann were in, then you spent time on air, the three of you, now you've transitioned out, it's just Dave and Ann Wilson. In those somewhat 3 years, all those transitions, was that difficult for you, and or have you ever considered the impact that the on-air ministry would literally change your life in so many ways personally, your life, your marriage, the people you meet? I mean, I just think of the last 3 years, and I think I love you, I know you, and I'm thinking of all the growth you must have gone through over the last 3 years, at least over the last 3 years, if not all that time.
Well, and that's really the point. I had no way of imagining back when all of this began back in 1992 what the impact on my life, my marriage, my family would be of a daily conversation with some of the most amazing people in the world on subjects related to marriage and family. I mean, I was the first listener for all of these conversations. Before anybody in the audience heard them, I was hearing them, and God was using them in my own life. Many days that we would finish a program and I would come home and Marianne and I would continue the conversation, I would still be chewing on something that one of the guests had said or something Dennis had said. And it was shaping everything about me as I think about my relationship with God, about our marriage, and about our family. And so there's been some melancholy associated with the fact that that's not a part of the rhythm of life for me any longer. But it's like a relay race. I wanted to make the baton handoff really secure into the hands of the next runners. And now I'm cheering them on and continuing to grow from continuing to listen to the interviews that are happening, even though I'm not there asking the questions or helping to direct the interview. I'm still benefiting from the conversations that are taking place. And Frank, my verse that I've just been hanging on to all year is Ecclesiastes 3:1, which Pete Seeger wrote a song about, and then the Birds made a hit with it, and we all know it maybe because of that as much as Ecclesiastes. There's a season for everything and a time for every purpose under heaven. And this is that season for that handoff to occur. And so I'm just rejoicing in God's wisdom and being a part of that.
Yeah, amen. After nearly three decades of hosting Family Life Today, our dear brother Bob Lapine is in a new season. Last week, final show on Friday in terms of hosting and co-hosting. How long do you think you'll still be a small part of the show at the end with sharing content and inviting people to support the ministry?
I think that'll continue at least through the end of this year. We're starting to look at who we can train and equip to step into that role over time. We, again, want there to be some familiarity and continuity for listeners, and so I'll continue to do that at least through this calendar year. And we continue to meet about that as a leadership team and to talk about what's best from a transitional standpoint. And so I'm available to continue doing that. And, of course, I still have the privilege of doing the introductions and the closes for Truth for Life with Alistair Begg, which many of your listeners also hear me on. And I'm going to continue doing that going forward as well. So my voice will still be heard from time to time as I get a chance to point people to the gifted men and women who are running Family Life Today and then Alistair and his ministry.
Yeah. Bob, I'm sure many people have shared their sentiments and their gratitude to you. Something that I don't think I've ever shared with you, one of the many things I loved, past tense now, strange to say, about listening to Family Life in you, you have a way about you, not only the tonal qualities of your voice, but the way you present really sometimes difficult information and have deep conversations. I always experienced like you were just kind of having a conversation with me. And that's something really rare. In my mode of talk radio, a lot of the hosts, we get kind of amped up. We get kind of passionate. And you find out who loves you and who doesn't love you so much, right? But that was one of the many things I really loved about you. And it's probably been a couple years now, but so grateful that you came out and spoke at our pastor appreciation breakfast a few years ago. And I did not know that you also have done some pastoring in your time.
Yeah, I helped plant a church here in Little Rock about 13 years ago. I have served as the primary teaching pastor for that church for the last 13 years. So most Sunday mornings, that's where I am in our church, in the pulpit, getting an opportunity to open God's word and to teach God's word. And I love that. It's a great privilege. I'm devoting now more of my time, not just to the preaching, but to the whole life of that church and helping to strengthen the roots and stabilize it. Again, thinking here, there's going to be a day ahead where somebody else needs to be in the pulpit, and I have to start preparing the church for that moment and that day and get ready for that handoff as well. But that's a great privilege. And I'll tell you, this is an interesting story, Frank. When I was in high school, I was a Boy Scout, and there was a day when we got pulled out of school, and it was career focus day. I forget what they called it, but you told your scout master about what you thought you might be interested in as a career, and then they would let you go and be with somebody and shadow them and see what it was like to do their job. And I said radio back in high school. I said, honestly, I just kind of wanted to go see what a radio station looked like on the inside. And I've been a listener for so long, I thought it would be exciting and fun. So I was in St. Louis sitting down as an Eagle Scout with the top-rated guy in St. Louis radio, a guy named Jack Carney. He was on from 9 until noon on the local station. I sat and listened to him, and in the middle of one of his breaks, I said to him, "Who are you talking to?"
Yeah.
Every time he'd open his mic, he'd
Good
say
question.
Something. I just said, "Who are you talking to?" And he smiled and looked over at me. He said, "I'm talking to Cindy. She's 38 years old. She lives in Clayton, Missouri. She has two kids," and he went on to describe this one person. And that's, in that moment, it dawned on me, that's how radio works. We're talking to one person at a time. And that always stuck with me and helped mark kind of the way that I wanted to communicate with listeners, not talking to all the people out there in radio land, but just talking to the people who are tuning in their car, one-on-one. We always said, when we're having these conversations at the table in the studio, there's an open chair, and that's the listener, and they're sitting there too. And my job is to try to figure out what question would they want me to ask? How would they want me to steer this conversation and be their advocate? And so that's what I've tried to do.
Yeah, you've done it quite well, needless to say, but I'll say it anyway. You're listening to the unmistakable voice of Bob Lapine. Bob, one more question, and then anything else you want to share in closing, if you just want to share your sentiments with the listeners, or maybe you've got a story or two, anything you want to share. But here's the question, and it's something that is really pronounced as you and I have just kind of sat down for the few moments that we have. And I'll try to convey it in a way in which it's more easy, because it's kind of complex, but let me try it this way. So there are people listening right now of all walks of life in different moments in their seasons where many are not sure of what is to come. They may be praying, they may be fasting, they may be trying to sense God's prompts, and yet they're in an await mode of what may be to come that season. Now, the reason why that's really prominent in me asking you, God's really used you in many ways on the air to speak to us about life's difficulties and life's answer, which is our King Jesus. But in your transitions and all of these years, hard to believe nearly three decades of hosting Family Life Today, I really get the sense like you have learned to sense his prompts and listen to him. And maybe sometimes the prompt is something that maybe you don't want to do, like, okay, Bob, maybe it is time to transition into something else. And all I'm trying to indirectly ask you is, if you have any experience, any wisdom along the lines of really spending time with our Lord and learning to listen to what he wants to tell you and guide you in your life, maybe there's one person listening right now by which you will speak to them directly about something they're struggling with.
Well, here's what I would say. One of the things that's been a guiding philosophy for me in my life is that my assignment here is to maximize whatever gifting I have for kingdom impact, maximum kingdom impact. I had people who asked me from time to time when I first came to Family Life, they would say, how long do you think you'll stay here? Mm-hmm. You know, how long are you committed to the radio program? And I said, well, I'm committed to this until there's an opportunity for me to leverage my gifts in a greater way for the kingdom. And so that's really, I have to steward my giftedness and say, how can I advance the kingdom most effectively using the gifting, the passions, the personality that God's given me? What's the best way I can steward that and cause the kingdom to grow and advance? So that's been the kind of the guiding philosophy. And then I've just always followed what the Bible says when it says, delight yourself in God, and he will give you the desires of your heart, yes. Which doesn't mean that you have desires and then you delight yourself in God and then he gives you what you desire. It means that when you delight yourself in God, the desires of your heart come from the overflow of you delighting yourself with him. So as I just draw near to the Lord and spend time with the Lord, and I start to sense, I think maybe this is what I'm supposed to do, then I will just pray, Lord, I'm gonna take steps in this direction, and would you please shut me down if I'm headed in the wrong direction, and would you please make the path clear if I'm going in the right direction, and then just keep moving. And as long as I'm delighting myself in the Lord, then I trust that where he takes me, even if there is pain or challenge or adversity, I've gone in the right direction because I'm following him. I hope that helps and makes some sense. That's just how I've tried to live it out.
Yeah, loud and clear. I absolutely believe loud and clear. Thank you, Bob. Bob Lapine, until last Friday, was a host of Family Life Today, nearly three decades later. What would you like to share in closing? Anything in particular? And maybe we can have you back on in the next few months and just have you speak and share some time with our listeners about something that's going on in the world, kind of a mini way of maybe honoring all of your gifts and your expertise and in addressing so many of the deep conversations that we need to have about culture and God. But between now and then, and as we bid you adieu for this moment, other than asking you if you have any aspirations to be an NBA analyst, anything else you want to share in closing? And again, thanks for coming on today. It's always wonderful to hear you, Bob.
Well, it's a privilege to get to do this with you and to share with your listeners. I've had the chance to meet some of them when I've been out there in LA, and I have such great respect for KKLA and for the consistent ministry that you guys have had for so many years. Terry Fay, your manager, is a great friend, and so I'm just a great KKLA cheerleader. At Family Life, we have always seen KKLA as one of our premier radio stations, one of the stations that helps us reach more people, and so we're grateful for that. I just, for listeners, I think I'd close with this. When I first came to Family Life back in 1992, I remember being at lunch with Dennis, and he was trying to just check out and see if I was going to be a good fit for what he sensed the Lord was calling them to do. And he said to me, he said, do marriage and family make you weep and pound the table?
Wow.
He wanted to know, what's my level of passion about God's plan for marriage and family? And I smiled and I said, well, to the extent that marriage and family are on the heart of God, yeah, it makes me weep and pound the table. I said, what makes me weep and pound the table is theology. It's knowing God. It's serving him. It's understanding the Bible, living that out. So marriage and family is part of that. And sure, that I have a passion for that. I was just being honest with him about where this was. I mean, if I wanted the job, I would have said, oh, yes, it's the most important thing to me. Right. Here's what I didn't realize, Frank. I didn't realize when I first came to Family Life the extent to which marriage and family is on the heart of God. Mm-hmm. How central marriage and family is to everything that God is doing in our world. It's why in the beginning, before there was a church, before there was government, before there was a society, there was a man and a woman, and God said, we're going to make the two one, you be fruitful and multiply. This is foundational to everything I'm doing from this point forward. And I know we have some single listeners, and God calls people aside for singleness and equips them and gifts them and uses them in their singleness. I'm not trying to exalt marriage or family as if it's superior in some way, but it is central to what God is doing on planet Earth. And so I think all of us have to pull back and go, I need to make the marriage and family that I'm a part of, if indeed I'm a part of one, need to make it the priority that it is for God. And I've learned that over the years, and it's caused me to double down and make it the priority in my own home and in my own life that it needs to be. And I just challenge listeners with that same thought.
Thank you for all of that. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all the years at Family Life today, and thank you for what the new season will come and bring, and how you've been such a selfless servant and building God's kingdom. Bob, we are grateful for you. We will look forward to seeing the new edition, the new season for Family Life Today with Dave and Ann Wilson. And for now, I love you. Prayers to you and your betrothed. And anytime you want a warm microphone and talk about some of the issues of the day, send me a text and we'll go for it.
We will stay in touch. I love you and appreciate you, my brother.
All right, Bob. Thank you so much. Bob Lapine, Family Life Today. What a radio ministry. We are so grateful to hear that ministry each and every weekday on this radio station. We will continue more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Again, my thanks to Bob Lapine. That was a treat, and I meant what I said. I will share a quick story with you that I didn't want to share with Bob on the air. So a few years ago, I don't know why it was up early for me. It was like 8 or 9, and I was driving somewhere on the freeway, and I tuned into Dennis and Bob. This is probably 3-4 years ago, and I don't know why, but I called into the radio program. And I think I texted Bob beforehand, and I said, hey, I'm calling in just to say hi. And I got on the air for a brief moment, and I made mention of I was just up early. And oh, my goodness, it was like, I mean, again, I'm a guy that for, I don't know, 15 years, I got up at 3 o'clock every morning when I was on Mark and Brian. And I mean, I know what it's like to get up at the crack of dawn. You set your alarm, you power sleep in the daytime. I get all that. But for whatever reason, when I said I was up early, that just tickled them both. And we had a fun conversation on the air. And I love both those men, Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine. And we are blessed. Dave and Ann Wilson, I've gotten to know a little bit. I hope that you've listened. If not, you will continue to learn about life and the realities of faith in a day and age by which we are so challenged, especially in the areas of family and marriage. So Dave and Ann Wilson, we're praying for you, and Family Life Today continues on this wonderful radio station. I have a book in my hand here I've made mention of a number of times. Speaking of radio ministry, the author of this book, has made a tremendous impact throughout the world in his many years of teaching about the Bible. Hank Hanegraaff is known as the Bible Answer Man, among many other things. He's an author. He has a new book entitled Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. And I was watching, for whatever reasons, I had heard that Hank Hanegraaff, Francis Chan, my first pastor, and K.P. Yohanan, founder of Gospel for Asia. I know K.P. very well and Francis very well. And they were doing these roundtables, of which you can still go to YouTube and just kind of partake from afar in a conversation that is deep and rich and all about faith. And I got really hooked on watching the roundtables. There are a number up on YouTube, and somewhere in, I don't remember the theme of the one roundtable, but Hank started mentioning his book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And I think Francis and KP also both said, mandatory book to get. So I went out and got it, and I'll be honest as I always am. It kind of sat on the shelf for a while. I was reading other books, and I think reading is very important. And then whatever reasons, recently I pulled it off the shelf, added it to my stack. I usually read about 7 or 8 books at once. And I'm looking at the book 2019, so it's been out for a little while, and started to read this. And I was really taken aback. I don't know if you read. I hope you do. Reading is so important, at the very least, to learn from other people, their experience, their knowledge, their wisdom. Reading is so important. And Hank really stresses it in this book, partly why the title Truth Matters, Life Matters More. But what I derived early on when I started to read Hank's book was, sometimes I try to power through books. I'll read a chapter or two, and then I'll grab another one and get into a different world, if you will. This book is to be read very slowly. Maybe you've listened to The Bible Answer Man. The knowledge that Hank possesses is very deep. And so last night I was reading, and for whatever reasons, I just started highlighting and thought, you know what, I'm going to read this particular piece on the air. And it will take literally 2 or 3 minutes, but I think it speaks very deeply to some things we're dealing with right now. Now, the chapters sometimes are very long. This particular chapter is like 40 pages long. It's called Ecclesia. Maybe you've heard Rob McCoy talk a lot about Ecclesia. But let me read a little bit of what Hank Hanegraaff writes, and then I'll share a comment or two. To give you an idea, it's page 166, so it's about a third of the way, maybe halfway into the book. Hank writes, "Along with biographies of martyrs in early church history, I've been greatly inspired by reading stories of modern-day saints. Last night I read the account of a man who survived the horrendous social experiment that Mao Zedong imposed on the Chinese populace. Some 30 million died in what was imagined to be the great leap forward into the heaven of communism. Reading in the comforts of my home, I was transported back to a time in which millions considered a tiny piece of bread and a small cup of water a luxury. As I read, I imagined myself in the circumstances that were being depicted. It felt as though I'd been lifted out of myself and into the life of another. Their suffering became my suffering. Their story became my own." Now, let me stop there. The next paragraph I'm going to read is what I really wanted to share with you. That's kind of the setup. So I'll continue. Hank writes, as I read or as I read, I could not help but contemplate the immense growth of Christianity in the face of modern persecutions. Even as thousands are daily turning away from Christ in the West, tens of thousands are turning toward him in the East. On the one hand are genuine encounters with uncreated energy in the epicenter of religious persecution. On the other, an epidemic of complacency and spiritual malnourishment, having a form of godliness but denying its power. As faith without works is form devoid of substance, so religion devoid of God's uncreated energy is little more than baptized secular humanism. Acquiescence to logical truth, propositions devoid of living realities. Hank Hanegraaff from his recent book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. The one sentence that really struck me, because we talk a lot on the air about the state of our country and the world and faith, and I've got a story here on millennials and Gen Zers. One third of young people say individual property ownership is wrong. But we've really taught them well, haven't we? Let me read the sentence again that stood out to me, or the series of sentences. I could not help but contemplate the immense growth of Christianity in the face of modern persecutions. Even as thousands are daily turning away from Christ in the West, tens of thousands are turning toward him in the East. On the one hand are genuine encounters with uncreated energy in the epicenter of religious persecution. On the other, an epidemic of complacency and spiritual malnourishment. My goodness. Hank Hanegraaff, thank you for all that you've done and for writing this powerful book entitled Truth Matters, Life Matters More. 888-528-2557. Our phone lines are open. They did not work Wednesday so well. They worked yesterday. Today's a new day. If you'd like to call, it's Friday. Maybe we do a little open phone Friday as well. Share what's on your mind and your heart, questions, comments. 888-528-2557. When we continue, maybe I'll share a little bit of this survey on young people and individual property ownership. It's kind of a crazy story. And some others as well. I think that you will find very interesting. Facebook is shutting down a pro-Israel website. Joe Biden was at the podium again talking about Pride Month and how important it is to honor biological men competing against biological women, and a whole lot of other stuff to share with you as well. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. I pray you and yours are well. Let me share a little bit of the story. It's from a survey. And when I first read it, I thought, what is this about? And then after reading it a bit more deeply and kind of doing some cross-referencing, it dawned on me. Well, of course, it makes perfect sense that the younger generation, some think of individual property ownership as being a bad thing. Right? You think about some of the way in which some of our sons and daughters are taught at institutions of higher learning, sprinkle a little heavy on the socialism, and it's all about equity and the idea of wealth. Somebody working hard to establish their lives and their livelihood. There's like this contempt for people as if all people that are affluent or very wealthy just had it handed it to them. But let me read the story again. This is a survey by Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center. They do a lot of surveys on faith. Now, you may want to read the Constitution, something that's being attacked right now, because individual property rights are a hallmark of the Constitution. But one-third of young adults surveyed believe the concept is unfair. Poll found that 35% of millennials, 34% of Gen Xers said that individual ownership of property facilitates economic injustice. Huh. The Cato Institute, a public policy research organization that promotes limited government, says on its very website that the U.S. Constitution, quote, protects property rights through the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments, due process clauses, and more directly through the Fifth Amendment's takings clause. The Institute said America's founders understood clearly that private property is the foundation not only of prosperity, but of freedom itself. Quote, thus through the common law, state law, and the Constitution, they protected property rights, the rights of people to acquire, use, and dispose of property freely, end quote. Report released this month, part of the Center's 2021 American Worldview Inventory. It's an annual report that they do that examines the belief of Americans. Cato responded to the survey with this, and I'm quoting, "It is no accident that a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to justice for all protects property rights. Property is the foundation of every right we have, including the right to be free." John Locke, the philosophical father of the American Revolution and the inspiration for Thomas Jefferson in drafting the Declaration of Independence, said, "Lives, liberties, and estates, which I call by the general name property." James Madison, guy that wrote most of the Constitution, said, "As a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights." So what's going on here? Look, I'm not a scholar by any stretch. But if you have a third of the younger generation saying that somehow private property ownership is akin to economic injustice, well, you just kind of have to read a little bit into the tea leaves saying, well, yeah, they are bombarded, overwhelmed with, dare I say, brainwashed with things like critical race theory, so much about justice, even in the church. Like people think Jesus, in theological liberalism, they think Jesus is some social justice warrior. Like that's his main priority, is to seek out justice. Jesus is justice. He doesn't have to seek it out. But private property ownership being a bad thing? Huh, let's just think of maybe some countries that would go along with that, where individual freedom is not encouraged and the government tends to want to run people's lives. Oh, 1 + 1 = 2. It's not hard to figure out where a lot of this comes from. 888-528-2557. For those of you that stay with us for the next hour here in Los Angeles, I'm going to share something to begin that is rather eye-opening and sobering. And for those of you listening in San Diego on AM 1210 K-Praise, I do pray that you have a blessed weekend. And Lord willing, I will be back here Monday for another program. If you care to participate, you can do so in a few ways. Indirectly, you can email me, either at franksontag@kprz.com or franksontag@kkla.com. I have my emails open to both. I'll probably read on the break if you send something. And if you anytime want to call in, and like today, Open Phone Friday for our next hour, if you want to participate, phone lines are always the same, 888-528-2557. Anything literally anything you want to share, if you have comment about, if you have questions directed to me about virtually any topic, know you're welcome to call. The phones are open, 888-528-2557. This is the Frank Sontag Show.